Again, everybody remembers this morning, right? Jesus, the disciples were teaching. Jesus was teaching. Disciples were with him. And word came to him that Lazarus was sick. And Jesus waited a couple days before he decided to go where Lazarus was. Well, Lazarus passed away. He died. And let me just say this. When a person dies, they either go to the presence of the Lord in heaven or they go to hell. Some will say, well, you mean paradise. We're not in the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament. Okay? But he died. And one of the things that's always, I won't say troubled me, but things that I've thought in my old mind is, can you imagine Lazarus dies, he goes to the Lord's presence, he goes to heaven, and then he's dead 4 days and he has to come back. You ever thought about that? Did Lazarus say, no, nope, I'm here, I'm staying. But no, it was this whole miracle was to bring glory to God. And it was to point those people then to the fact that Jesus was who he claimed to be, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ. So Jesus takes off. Martha meets him and she says, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And then I think we stopped, verse 21? Well, did I get that far? Wow. Let me read it again. Verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Now, there you go. Let's stop there just for a second. She, even though her brother died, notice what she says. Lord, I have faith in you, and I know whatsoever you ask of God, he will give it to you. So she still had a ray of hope that, you know, Jesus is going to bring her brother, dead brother, back to life. And then notice what it says. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. How many of you looking forward to rising again at the resurrection? Either in the air, or if we do die, guess what? Our spirit and a new body is going to be joined together when the rapture takes place. What a resurrection that's going to be. Then it says, 25, Jesus said unto her, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Again, what's he talking about there? Do people still die that are believers? Yes, they do. In fact, as long as he delays his coming, chances are we're going to die if he doesn't come back in our lifetime. But if we know him as the resurrection and the life, as our personal Savior, we have repented of our sins and received him by faith. He saves us. We don't ever have to worry about spiritually dying the second death. Amen. And then notice what he says at the end of verse 26. He asks her a question. She asked, Lord, where were you? Sent word. You didn't show up. Where were you? If you'd have showed up, my brother would have lived. And then Jesus asked her a question. He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? What was he saying? Martha, do you truly believe I am who I claim to be? Do you truly believe in me? And I'll ask you tonight, do y'all truly believe? Listen, I don't believe in fairy tales. I don't believe in fables. Jesus is as real as I am standing before you tonight. He is God manifested in the flesh. And because of what Christ did for us on the cross, the Bible says that we are now partakers of His divine what? Everybody look at me. You don't know that verse? Nature. It means that God is living in us and we in Him. We're partakers. But do you believe? There's a lot of folks claim they do. And then what they do is, when we were talking about hopeless situations coming to our lives, what they do is, one, they get angry at God and they blame Him. And then you know what they do? Pew, split. And they're gone. But oh yeah, I trusted Jesus. You can't just trust Jesus when times are good. You have to trust Him when things are at their worst. You have to trust Him every minute of every day for your entire Christian life. There's a lot of folks out there who don't do that. But He asked her, you believe in me? Believest thou this? I am the resurrection. I am the life. If you trust me, you don't have to worry about dying spiritually. Ask the average person out there on the strip tonight, do you believe Jesus is the resurrection and the life? And they'll look at you like you're on drugs. You're crazy. When did they let you out of the padded room? But folks, He's who He said He was. Amen? Now, look at what the Word says. Believest thou this? And she said unto Him, yea, Lord, yes, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. She pretty much made the same claim and gave the same answer as Peter did when the question was asked, who do men say that I am? Well, Lord, some men say you're a great prophet. Others say you're Elijah. But who do you say I am? And Peter many times put his foot in his mouth. A lot of times he spoke without thinking, and we've all been guilty, have we not? But Peter, this time, spoke the truth. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe you're the Christ. You're the Son of God. And then notice what it says. And when she had said so, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto Him. She was in the house. But when she finally found out Jesus was there by Martha, the Bible says she arose quickly and she came to Jesus. You see, there's the answer to your impossible situations. You go to Jesus. You rise out of your self-pity and depression, and you go to Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not making light. People have depression. All of us, probably at one time or another, have been depressed. But you don't allow depression to control your life. You are a child of God. We have access to God the Father every moment of our existence here. And we can turn to Him and ask Him for strength to be able to cope. Amen? I'll get in trouble what I'm fixing to say now. We don't have to rely on a prescription. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're on a prescription, hey, I'm not saying throw it away, but just don't put your faith and trust in that. You put your faith and your trust in the Lord. Again, we all take medication. God gave us medication. Okay? And if you're prescribed medication, by all means, take it. Don't do like Sister Judy. That still haunts me. Sister Judy Rouse. Little lady, I love that little thing. Ladies, y'all were at a retreat, weren't you? Oh, okay. Anyway, she had several health issues. But she had decided in her own mind, you know what? I'm tired of taking medicine. I ain't taking no more medicine. And she just quit. Well, she had a massive heart attack. She passed away. The Lord saw fit to take her. But you don't just stop. Make sure you go to your doctor and he says, yeah, we can wean you off of this. You don't need that. And by the way, I sound like a patient advocate. You as a patient have a right to say yes or no. Amen? Just to remind you. Anyways, Mary gets up, she arises and goes out to meet the Lord quickly. If you've got an issue, go quickly to the Lord. And then it says, now, Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. And the Jews which were with her in the house and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. And then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Again, I think he heard that once before by the other sister. And Jesus truly loved Martha and Mary. And he truly loved Lazarus. They were dear friends of our Lord. Can I say, I hope he can call me a friend. Can he call you friend? Abraham was the friend of God. Can you imagine? What a testimony, a legacy. Yeah, he was a friend of God. Wow. Those would be tough shoes to follow. But Mary goes, Lord, my brother wouldn't have died if you'd have been here. But again, there was a reason. It's because the plan was to glorify God and to show lost people he was the Christ, the Messiah. Then it says, and when Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, there's those mourners I was telling you about and loved ones, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. The psalmist says that God catches our tears in a bottle. You see, God sees our tears. That's right, Sister Ginger. He sees our tears, and He knows the pain and the suffering that we go through. He understands that. In fact, Isaiah 53, if you'll read chapter 53 and verse 3, he was a man acquainted with sorrows. Whose sorrows? Our sorrows. Every disease, every loss of a loved one, every trial, he fully understands, because when he was placed on the cross, not only was our sins placed upon him, but all of our sins and grief was placed there, and sorrow. So he sees the weeping, and notice what it says. Get this. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. I looked up that word trouble in the Hebrew. You know what that word means? Troubled, but it also means angered. You say, oh, Jesus never got angry. If he got angry, he would have said, hey, y'all ever read about him driving out the money changers? Do you think that he was saying, y'all please, break this up. Just go. No, he drove them out of the temple. You have made my father's house a den of thieves. No, he was angered. You say, well, why would he be angry? And by the way, remember, with Jesus, his anger is always righteous indignation. Always. He's not like us. But he was angered, he was troubled, I think, for two reasons. The first reason was he knew that there were going to be people there that who would still not, even though he performed one of the mightiest miracles he could ever perform while he was here on earth, raising the dead, there would still be people that wouldn't believe. And two, he was angry at sin and death. You see, it was because of sin that death was passed upon all men. So what does he do? Look at what it says. When he saw their weeping, the Jews weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And then, verse 35. Shortest verse in the Bible, and I'll go ahead and say it. You who say, well, I just can't memorize scripture like I used to, you don't have no excuse when there's only two words. John 11:35. Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. But do you understand what he saw? Mary weeping. He saw the others weeping. He was moved with compassion. And he wept himself. I wonder how many times he weeps over you and I. When he sees us in our day-to-day walk, do we cause him to cry? But I want to say this. If you're going through whatever you're going through and it seems like there's no hope, he has compassion and he understands those tears that you are shedding. He knows something about loss, does he not? God lost his only begotten son for our benefit. So he knows sorrow and suffering. Jesus wept. And then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. That was a right statement. He did love Lazarus. He did love Martha. He did love Mary. But he also loves me and you. We are not alone. When we think that we've been forsaken and no one cares, there's one who always cares and who will never forsake you, and that's the Lord, because he loves you. You say, well, how do I know that he loves me? He died on the cross in our place. Stretched out his arms and freely gave himself on our behalf in our place. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Boy, always skeptics, huh? We even have family and friends and co-workers and acquaintances that are always skeptical. Well, I heard he did that. Why couldn't he do this? And Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days. 4 days. Buried. And the Lord goes to the grave and he commands the stone to be rolled away. Martha goes, Lord, what are you doing? Now remember, I believe. Martha, believest thou this? I believe. If you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. Martha and Mary both said that. And Jesus says, roll the stone away. But Lord, 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 he's been dead 4 days and stinks. Do you say that was a little lack of faith on her part? I would. But I'm not going to throw rocks at her, because had I been there, if that would have been me, I'd have probably been the same way. Hey. I don't want to gross no one out, so I will say this delicately. There's nothing that smells any worse than a person that has passed on and been gone for several days. Never smelt nothing so bad in my life. Lord, he stinketh. And then notice what it said in verse 40. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, that thou shouldest see the glory of God? Had to remind her. Martha, now wait a second. Did you not hear me? Did I not say, you're going to see God work here? Did I not say that? And then it says this, and this is what I love. If you would believe. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. See, this is one thing about the Lord. The Bible tells us he always did the will of the Father, correct? And Jesus never, ever acted without going to the Father. He didn't take it upon himself to do anything. He always went to the Father first. Child of God, that should be an example to you and me. We don't act or do anything before we go to the Father and seek his will. Amen? We go to the Father. And then the Word of God declares, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Again, who's he praying to? The Father. You think Jesus trusted the Father? Yeah. I know that thou hearest me. How many times? Every now and then? when Jesus can get his attention? No, always. Why? Because he was always in the will of the Father. And when he had thus spoken, and again, he wanted this to be done that they would believe that he was the one sent, the Messiah, the Son of God. And then when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth." Now, please understand this. Dead men don't hear commands. Dead men don't obey commands. Why did Lazarus hear and obey this command? Because he was brought back to life. He was alive just at the command of the Lord. Lazarus, come forth. Have you come forth? When the Lord has called you, have you come forth in service, possibly ministry, whatever it may be, in your walk, have you come forth? Have you obeyed his command? Lazarus did. You say, how do you know? Look at the next verse. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. What a sight that must have been. You reckon some of them took to running off the side of Bethany when they saw a dead man come out of that tomb? Kind of reminds me of a story. This is a true story. There's this judge in Yugoslavia, and he went to change a light bulb in the bathroom, but he stood on the side of the tub, and he had an old slow drain, so there was a little water. And when he went to change the bulb, his foot slipped into the water. Guess what happened? And he just fell out. And when his wife found him unresponsive, she called for the authorities, and they pronounced him dead. He's dead. And I mean graveyard dead, is what they said. Well, there was a custom there in Yugoslavia before the embalmer or mortician could take you to the mortuary and do what he needs to do and get you ready for burial. You had to lay out for 24 hours. Just lay there. There was a night watchman there, and this judge, after a long period of time, starts to tap his fingers, opens his eyes, and he comes to. And he gets off that gurney, and the guard is outside this door, and he goes, excuse me. And when the guard saw him, he was gone. Okay? So, he said, I'll call my wife. Went to where the phone was in the office, called his wife, and he says, dear, she passed out. He says, my goodness, who's going to believe I'm alive? So he finally walked to a friend's house and said, I need you to call my wife and call the authorities and tell them I'm alive. And the friend, after hearing that he had died, says, you're a ghost. So he didn't know what to do. He walked back to the mortuary, got on the phone again. He goes, I'm going to call a friend that lives in another country that probably hasn't even heard that I've died. I'm going to tell him what's taking place and let him call my wife. And that's what he did. And that friend lived next country over, called and said, he's alive. He called me. Now, can you imagine? Lazarus was graveyard dead. But because of the power of Almighty God, he rose. Come forth. He was in his grave clothes. There was no doubt he was dead. Been in the tomb 4 days. And he come forth at the command of the Lord. And what does Jesus say? Loose him and let him go. Have you been loosed from sin? And are you alive? And I'm not talking physically. I know you're alive. I see you. You see me. But are you alive spiritually? That's the lesson here. You see, what started as a hopeless case, and believe me, we've all been there, haven't we? But there's someone that can change your situation, no matter how hopeless it may be. You see, he obeyed. I pray everybody here has obeyed the voice of the Lord and the call of salvation. And I pray he's let you loose. What I'm saying is, you're free from sin. And you're free and loosed from the penalty of that sin. And are you going? See, there's two things to that. One, if you are saved, you're going one day to be with the Lord. But are you going to tell others what Jesus has done for you? No doubt, some of the people believed there. I believe that with all my heart. But then there were those that, even though they saw with their eyes, like Brother Randy said this last week, having eyes to see, they see not. Having ears to hear, they hear not. But praise God, nothing is hopeless if you know the Savior. Amen. And many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. And then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees at council and said, "What do we? For this man doeth miracles." And it wasn't because they were happy and proud that the Lord was performing miracles for the benefit of the people. Raising the dead, restoring sight to the blind, healing the lame, restoring hearing to the deaf, feeding multitudes, many, many, many things he did. But they were upset for the miracles because they were afraid it was turning the people against him and they had to get rid of him. I will say one other thing and then I'll hush. Simply by speaking, Lazarus, come forth. Simply speaking, this impossible, hopeless situation was changed. In a moment. If the Lord can speak and raise the dead, if the Lord can create the universe and this world by speaking it into existence, if the Lord through speaking can hang all those billions and billions of stars in space and in the universe and know their names, if the Lord can take a pile of dirt and make a human race, if He can do that with just speaking, then why are you so fearful that He can't handle your situation? That's right there. That's right, Brother Steve. Why do we doubt Him? But many do. So I will close by asking you, do you believe? And do you understand when you feel you're going through a tough situation that seems hopeless, do you understand who do you turn to? You turn to the Lord. Sometimes we have all the answers, at least we think. We're convinced we have all the answers. But we trip up because we say, well, if He loved me, He would have answered this by now. Understand, with God, sometimes there is a waiting period. And yes, you know, we have it in our minds, well, I've done what I'm supposed to. I've turned to the Lord. I've prayed to Him. He sees, He's heard. Why isn't He answering? Especially right now. He sees I'm going under. The reason sometimes He waits is it's for our benefit. He sees what we don't see. And He knows. Sometimes what we ask ain't as beneficial as we think. No. Everything that He does will always be for our benefit. But we have to learn to accept His will. And I'm not saying it's easy. But we must submit and learn to accept His will. Some of you here have lost children. Never experienced that. I pray I don't. But if I do, because of your example and your encouragement, and because I know the Lord, I believe. I know He'll give me grace. Y'all all know about my aunt and uncle. Lost their two children. Their only two children. One drowned and one was shot during deer season. Boy and a girl. And yeah, you go through the steps of grief. Everybody will tell you there's certain steps in grief and all. Well, they went through them steps plus some. But through lots of prayer, lots of encouragement from family and brothers and sisters in Christ, guess what? They were able to deal with their loss. Now, I didn't say they were able to get over their loss. They're going to miss my cousins for the rest of their lives till they're joined together in heaven one day. But listen to me. You cope by God's grace. He gets you through. So again, even as hopeless as that must have felt to lose a child, Jesus was still the answer. Remember that. When you're facing a mighty, mighty trial and mountain, He's the answer. Think of Pop. It's going to be a year, the 27th. Just got word, Uncle Johnny, his brother, liver cancer, stage 4. Understand, that's not good. Liver cancer is not a good cancer to have. There's not a great success rate. I'm not saying success rate. I'm not saying that God can't heal. If it's His will, He can. But again, you're up and about today, and tomorrow you may be laying flat on your back. Who are you going to trust? I pray you'll trust the Lord. He is what? The resurrection and the life. He is. And whosoever believeth in me shall not die. So praise God.